Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So tonight, we're going to be reviewing It, Welcome to Derry, Episode 4, The Great Swirling Apparatus of Our Planet's Function. And my good friend Chris here, last time he was here, we did Peacemaker, Season 2. Now he's back to do It, Welcome to Derry, Episode 4. So let's go ahead, let's welcome Chris back to the show, and let's do this, guys. And hey, Chris, welcome back.
Hi, John, thanks for having me back.
You're very welcome. So, I have a question. How have you been enjoying this series? I know that Rossi and I have been enjoying this. And guys, I just want to let you know, Rossi had something that came up. I know I lied inside the in the description that she's going to be here, but she's going to be here for next Monday's review. But still, what did you think of this episode overall?
This episode, I thought it was a nice setup. The series so far, since that was your first question, I am enjoying it. So much. I really needed a good horror series, and I'm glad that this one came out. It's been really nice, fast pace. This episode, I like. It was a lot of world and lore building, and it really helps give some history to what's going on, and I really enjoyed it.
That's one thing I liked about this episode too, was the world building, the lore. I feel like, you know, we have chapter 1 and chapter 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is just an extension of that world building that we're getting with this. It's just like an extra extended add-on, which is something that I really do appreciate within this series itself.
Yeah, it's building up more of the world. You get a little more understanding of what things are going on, and figuring out what this creature is, right?
Exactly. So let's go ahead. Let's get into it. So Will and Veronica, Lily Rich shows the police the pictures to Clint. They don't see what the kid sees. Clint threatens them that they shouldn't go and get involved in police work. Now, Rossi and I were like, okay, did they really wind up getting the pictures that they needed? And I said, no. I said, chances of them getting this, it's definitely not something that's going to happen.
Right,
because of the fact it manipulates the adults into seeing whatever it wants them to see, and therefore they didn't get anything. I said it would be funny if they just walked out of this and they have a bunch of selfies on themselves making idiotic faces instead of something, and then instead it's just like burr crap, and then there was something else. And then something surprised me though with this, right? Because Clint was like, wait, I see a little statue, which is the same thing that the kids saw, which was the clown. So my thing is this, I don't think that was actually Pennywise in that picture, if Clint was able to see that picture.
I don't know. I mean, it could have been just like a blip. But, you know, I think Pennywise has a way of manipulating people's minds. So maybe he just, I mean, is he a perfect creature? Maybe, will he make some mistakes, or is he just leaving that in there just to get that little seed planted for that fear that he wants to build up?
Right. But for me, I think that this is actually somebody else. And there's some theory going online that's saying that it's Mr. Shaw, Miss Shaw from It Chapter 2, which is the thing that it winded up pretending to be and took the persona of her. And
could be.
And it's also the clown. People are also speculating Mrs. Shaw is also the clown that was at the very beginning of episode 3 in that carnival.
Yeah.
So yeah. I can actually see that in a way because of the fact that Clinton is able to see this. It is manipulating the adults. The only people that can actually see anything are the kids because of the way right. that it manipulates it. So that's why I was thinking that the fact that it's not really Pennywise.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, we also have other spirits, right, getting involved, like Dick's mom, right, showing up.
Right. So, and we'll get to that. Right.
Yeah.
But with Dick's mom, though, a grandmother coming in there, though, it's basically his shine because he mm-hmm. is a part of the Shining universe. So basically he's seeing her through a vision of saying, be careful. Right. You know, and it's like death, right? Where it's soft at first and then it starts getting louder and louder. Because she keeps on warning him throughout episode 1, 2, and 3. And then finally this happens out in the woods with Dick and his buddies. And, you know, I just thought that was something that was really horrifying as well, seeing the grandmother over there trying to warn him out of the blue. But what did you think?
So I thought it was kind of creepy. It was kind of like nice because, you know, he has these like psychic abilities, right?
Right.
I also kind of was going off of for the kids being able to see it. They say kids have a little bit more of an open mind and maybe a little bit closer to the psychic ability stuff, so maybe that's why they're being kind of played, and that's kind of the reason why I thought maybe it could just be another spirit getting involved with the pictures, and for some reason you can't catch the kids spirits that were chasing them through the cemetery, right? Because that was actually Pennywise them
right
doing all that work, but an actual spirit probably could have maybe gotten caught on the photographs.
That's a possibility of like a real spirit would be able to do that and something that it didn't manipulate. Yeah. But with Dick though, I think that this is his shine.
Right. And
that is his real, his grandmother really warning him.
Yeah. I think his is real. Yeah. That's, because he knows how to control and look into that and all that and everything. But I was more leaning towards the kids section.
Right. I gotcha. But, you know, the thing that I'm really enjoying is the fact of the world building, like you mentioned. Clint is actually Henry Bowers' grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Butch, who's actually Henry Bowers' father. Right. So Clint is actually the person who's a part of the police force. And do you remember Henry Bowers from the original It movie?
Yes.
Okay. But yeah, I definitely like the manipulation within this world and then Veronica and them trying to prove her dad's innocence. And it's just the circumstances with this still breaks my heart. And it doesn't matter what they do. It is still going to win because of the manipulation within the police force. And then also, too, with the racism going on within the 1960s itself, it's like an open shut case, right? It's like, well, we got our guy. He's a black guy. So this has to be the guy that we have.
Right.
So there's no reason to even open up the books because right.
On top of that, whatever Pennywise's power is, the whole town just seems to ignore any rising hate or anything. So I mean, on top of that as well, it's a whole fuel sandwich.
Right. It's a whole entire cancer, if you think about it, it's poison within this town itself where these people are being manipulated by it. No one sees anything. They choose not to see anything as if everything is just perfect and honky-dory. Now, this is also another thing, too, like in the bathroom with Veronica and stuff like that, too. Veronica's afraid that her dad will be transferred to Shawshank. 1930s kids disappearing. That's also another thing with Mrs. Shaw, like I said before. I'm thinking that that's Pennywise because here's the thing. Why else do you think that this woman is making Lily push herself to find out more information.
Right. It's interesting, like, why? Because we don't see her too often, right? But she does appear, and then she keeps, like, pushing her to find more stuff. And she met her at the Institute, right? That's where she first met her?
Yeah, she met her at the Institute. Because remember, she said people are afraid of what they can't see. Right. And now she's telling her now that she needs to go ahead and keep investigating it. And Lily even asked her, she said this to her. She said, well, did anything like this ever happen? She goes, yeah, in the 1930s, stuff like this happened, but yeah, nothing like drastic.
All casual and everything about right. it, right? It was like
it's another Tuesday.
And then she's just, this seems kind of like the opposite of what like a counselor or anything would be doing. It's like, well, let's talk about your issues and what's going on in life right now. Not go investigate this more and see what you can pull up.
Right. And so you have that going on, and then the scene in the gym and stuff like that, and the cop, and basically they're like, look, we can't do anything about this because we're going to get in trouble for it. And it just hurts that neither side is wrong. It's just the circumstances that Lily and Veronica are both in, and Will's trying everything he can do. So is Rich.
Right.
It's just like they're, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yes.
What can you do against right. this being? And no one's really going to take kids seriously anyways, right?
Exactly.
Because their kids have a wild imagination. Maybe they all watched a movie or read a book or, you know.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what the cops are going to say. Like, yeah. You know, what was your kids reading? Because their imaginations can go haywire and stuff like that, you know.
Comic books?
Yeah, what comic books is your son reading?
Because I remember that. I think that was a thing back then, too. Comic books bring out evil and stuff like that back in those
right. days. Right. Something that they don't understand is what they're afraid of.
Yeah.
But I do like this other thing, too, where Rose visits the Hollands. Rose becomes friends with Leroy's wife. And this is where she also tells his wife that, hey, yeah, there's an evil in Derry that you need to be aware of.
Yeah, there's something going on, and this, I'm not quite sure where to go with that one.
Well, I like the fact that she's in the know of this because of mm-hmm. our culture, because of our Indian culture, and there's racism going on all over the place within this town. You have Black racism, you also have the Cuban racism going on because of Richie's background, because he's Cuban.
Right.
Then you also have the Indian tribe as well. So you have racism going on in all parts of this show. But I like the fact that they're not using the N-word or anything. What they're doing with this show is smart. It's like, look, we can show racism, but we're going to show racism in a smart way. We're mm-hmm. just going to go ahead and let these characters look at someone of color or look at someone that's different in a different way. And that will mark the way that we're going to deal with racism. I think it was a smart move to go in that direction and stuff with that.
They're doing a really good job of portraying it without using a lot of the derogatory terms of the time. I mean, the whole group that was on the military base, they sent them all the way off of base, right?
Right.
But at the same time, they have a nice setup now that it's all cleaned up. But still, like, they obviously still have an issue with them being in the military during this time frame as well, and then the Native Americans are all trying to keep people off the land. The government's just pushing themselves on the land, and you know, it's
right. It's all segregated. But you know, I want to go on this. I want to piggyback off of what you said though, because Dick and the guys is what I'm going to say. And what I like about this is the fact is like, okay. So we're going to go in ahead. We're going to move you guys off of base and let you guys have your own space because that's what is more comfortable for you. No, it's more comfortable for you, douchebag, because you don't want someone that is different than you or looks different than you in the military. Even though they're supposed to be serving and protecting our country, you're still being a ball bag.
Right.
And so Dick is looking at the opportunity of like, I get to be with my friends and maybe not have to shield myself from this. And I don't have to go ahead and read people's minds or anything. I can just be myself for a little bit, like he did with Leroy.
And but then his grandmother pops up.
Yeah, the grandmother pops up. And that scene was very eerie and creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with everything that Dick is, everything that I know about The Shine and what he's doing. And she even knows about his shine and what he's doing. And she goes, look, you need to put a lid on it.
Right.
And that's not something that he should be using, because get this. Not only are they going to try and weaponize it, not only is the military going to weaponize it, but they're also trying to weaponize Dick as well, because he's also forcing him to do something that he doesn't want to do, but he has to do it under direct orders.
Right. And then at the same time, from the last episode, when they were flying over, right, he said, when he got back, what did you see? And Dick was like, it's more like it saw me. So
right.
It's kind of like a warning from his grandmother to him, like, hey, this thing is a little bit stronger than you should. So maybe stop. put a lid on it. Let's not go further into this.
Right. You do not need to go through anything else. Just put a lid on it. Be safe. Don't do this.
Yeah. Okay. And well, we know that that's not going to happen because, you know, he's going to follow orders. He's a good soldier.
So then we have the scene where we have Marge and all them inside the classroom. There's actually a turtle reference again in the show, which is the turtle that I mentioned in my the His Town History thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So basically that is actually the counterbalance. He's actually the protector and the good one. Well, it is actually the chaos and the psychopath of what of something that's totally different than Martrin. Martrin is actually the protector. So I do like the fact that they're even mentioning the turtle in this. And then Marge is also creeped out by snails in this. So we have a little bit of a foreshadowing of what's going to happen to her later on in the series and in this episode. But we'll get to that in a minute. But did you have anything to add as far as that classroom scene or no?
Oh, that classroom scene. She got what was coming to her, really.
Right. So then we have Will. Will comes home. His mom finds the pictures, and Will is telling his mom what happened at the cemetery. Will's mom wants Will to tell Leroy about Veronica. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about the first thing that happens. He gets in trouble for the pictures that he has in the drawer.
Yeah.
And, you know, she finds the pictures and she finds out what Will said, she's like, okay. She goes over to the police station and demands that she sees Veronica's father. And Clint is like, no, you're not a visitor. You're not anyone that is a relative or anything. So I'm not going to let you see him or anything.
Right.
And I'm like, I like how the fact that she's not dumb, she's smart, and she knows what racism is. And the fact that she's even from the South, and now she moved up to the North, and there's worse racism than it is in the South, than it was in the South. And she's like, well, does he have a lawyer? Did he lawyer up? What's going on? And she gave him all the laws of everything that they've done wrong.
Yeah, and I like she also, like, she kind of played it off, too. Like, the kids were chased in the cemetery, so somebody's obviously still out there, right?
Right.
Just like you were saying, you know, it could have been somebody earlier. And then she went from there and she's like, you know what? Let me go ahead and push this a little bit further. Has he lawyered up and everything? And then, you know, he's going by the books, right? And saying, right. Well, you're not family, you're not a lawyer or whatever. And then she goes home or whatever, and then when she comes back, she has this letter, and she talks to one of the detectives, right? One of the deputies.
Well, she goes over to Veronica's grandmother.
Yeah,
she's also her father's mother.
That's where she got the letter,
right? And so she talks to somebody that's not Clint, and she goes, he goes, look, I have a note now. That says I'm allowed to talk to him. Right. He goes, well, you can't get the okay unless the captain says it. He goes, well, I have the letter. So guess what? She goes on ahead. She talks to Veronica's father. Veronica's father now confirms that he wasn't at home.
Yeah.
Or anything. And she goes, well, what's so bad about sleeping with a married woman? That's not that bad. And then, oh, she's white. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He knew the whole racism thing. He'd just be strung right. up. So that's why he didn't want to say anything. And not only that, whatever would happen to the woman as well. Right.
Right. And I totally get his point. It's like, I don't want no harm to come to me. Not only do I not want no harm to come to me, but I also don't want no harm to come to this innocent woman that slept with me because of what her and I did, because they're going to be hanging me up with a rope instead of sending me to Shawshank.
Right.
So I totally get it. It's like, I'd rather be in Shawshank than be hung in front of other people and be put out there like that. And also, too, the woman could also die, too, because the husband could also kill her.
Right.
So I totally get it. And then you have this other thing that plays out. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. Going ahead.
And the whole town would ostracize her if she mm-hmm. doesn't die, you know.
Exactly. And then you also have where she asked, tells him, she goes, well, since you didn't lawyer up or anything like that, you're entitled to a lawyer. You also might get on house arrest because they don't have enough evidence on you right now. You'll go to trial, but you'll get to be home with your family.
Right. And you have a more of an actual chance of defending yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's like all of her experience from the civil rights movement that she had just come from. And her husband, remind me his name again.
Leroy.
Yeah. He's like, stop getting into stuff, stop getting in messes and stuff like that. This is my job over here. But she's going to go help somebody who's presumably innocent. Right.
Right.
And she's going to use all that power and that knowledge that she has, which is awesome. To try and get him at least some more time with his family.
Right. And, you know, I understand where Leroy is coming from. He's like, look, I work for the military. I work for the government, United States government. They're all already chastising me for being the skin color that I am. I don't need more fuel to the fire than what you're doing right now. But at the same time, though, she's a stay-at-home mom who is cooking and cleaning for Leroy. She doesn't really have much going on for herself. Yeah. And she's a civilian.
And Will's at school. And Will's at school.
Right. So, you know, I understand. I totally get why she wants to do this. She wants to be the person that wants to do something right without someone telling her not to do something when it something. So I like where she's going with this. And I definitely disagree with Leroy with this.
Yeah, I agree. You know? I disagree with him too. It's like, you got to stand up for yourself. And she has the knowledge and the experience to do so.
It's like, okay, you're fighting racism in the military, but out here on these streets, you're not seeing the racism out in these streets as much as I am, because I'm also a civilian who's witnessing this.
Right.
So it's like, no one's right or wrong. It's just that the fact that there's racism on both ends, and their racism is different than what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
But just
different areas. That,
right. I just think Leroy is wrong in this, because mm-hmm. I would want my wife to stand up for anything. Then again, this is someone of color, but still at the same time, though, he doesn't want anything to happen to his wife. But his wife, I have to say, she can take care of herself. She's a strong, independent woman who is not going to back down.
Yeah.
You know?
And then we move into
now we get the dinner table scene with I thought for sure she was wanting to tell Leroy about the pictures at the cemetery, because she goes, are you going to tell him?
Yeah, I totally thought she was going to push him for that too, but I think she also saw how uncomfortable Will was, and then she like at the last minute changed her mind and went and said, oh, he's got a girlfriend.
Or he has a crush. And that moment. It reminds me of us as kids when we have our first crush and we tell our parents. And then the first person we run to is our mother. And then after that, it's the father. And it's like, oh, really? So tell me more about her. So I like the fact that it's now a changed conversation at the dinner table. Because I also think, too, is like, my son is also trying to do the same thing that I'm doing as well, and he's trying to do something right, and just as I am. So I think it's the relatability between mother and son,
mm-hmm.
as to why she didn't ask him to see the tell him about the pictures. But I definitely like the dinner table scene. It's really, it was a very funny, loving moment of showing the innocence of the child. And then what does Leroy do? He wants to pick his son to spend more time with him by going fly fishing.
Oh, yeah. And that, you know, is, I'm not a big fan of fly fish. I'll do, you know, other fishing, but not fly fishing. So I was like, okay. And I was watching it, and they're out there, they're fly fishing, and they almost get the fish, right? Almost.
Right.
Will almost catches it, but then it comes off the line. He needs a new fly. And I actually got irritated because his dad just left him in the middle of the...
He's like, he's good. It's low tide tonight. He's good to go.
I'm like, you know? Bro, even if there's not a crazy monster out to get everyone, why would you just leave your kid to go? I mean, I know it's different times, but like...
He's like, well, son... It's like, well, I'm in the military. My son knows some stuff. He'll be good. He'll be all right.
And, you know, everything is fine. And then you start noticing, like...
And it is a stream, though, too. Like, but as someone that lives, like, knows Boston and stuff like that, I didn't know what fly fishing was up until my uncle introduced me to fly fishing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a big thing up in New England, in the New England area and stuff like that with fly fishing. But... I also find fly fishing a lot. I like just a regular cast. I don't like doing
right.
that. But anyways, I'm getting off. But
yeah. And you know, he leaves, he makes it to his truck, and Will is still out there holding onto his pole. And then one of the fish just swims right up to him. It's like, oh no. You know, you could almost see it coming, like something's going to happen. And then the fish kind of disappears into rocks, and then boom. You have that hand reach out.
Exactly. And even the fish look kind of weird, though. Pun intended, it looked kind of fishy because
it looked like a koi.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Looking for something new? Try fencing, the Olympic and Paralympic sport that mixes speed, strategy, and fun. It's like chess meets cardio. Quick feet, quick decisions, and a satisfying beep when you score a point. Kids, teens, and adults can start anytime. No experience needed, and many clubs have loaner gear. Coaches teach fundamentals and safety from day one. Find a beginner class near you at usafencing.org/tryfencing. That's usafencing.org/tryfencing.
Like a koi fish, which
looks like a koi fish, but with hair.
Yeah.
On top of it. Like, it didn't look like a normal fish.
No, it was a weird looking fish. And then it just, boom, Pennywise working his evil magic again, yanks him under, like, was it maybe a foot deep water? Is now
a foot of deep water, but still, that's still scary because it's actually an arm that pulls him down. And, you know, this is what I'm going to say. That was not his father that he saw in the water. It was him as a grown up being burnt up because he died.
You think so?
Future, he died in the future. He ended up dying in that. Remember on It Chapter 1 where Mike sees a bunch of burned hands and stuff like that?
Yeah.
In the alleyway. That was actually the mill or whatever that ended up catching on fire. Mike's dad, Will, dies in that fire.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, yeah.
I thought because I thought it was his fear that his dad was going to die because he had crashed in Vietnam in the past. That's why he got has the scars on his face.
Right. But I was also thinking, too, what if something happened to him and Dick in the future where they're looking for Pennywise or it and they crash? And there's a glimpse of him seeing his dad underwater. But it makes more sense. Yeah.
Do you think Pennywise could pull from the future into the past? If that's the case?
I think he could, but I think that I'm leaning more towards the fact that, you know, it's actually Will's actually seeing his own self not being dead. But Will is not understanding that or anything because he's in the present. So he only thinks that his dad is going to be the one who dies.
Right. And he may not recognize himself. And as we grow, sometimes we look like our parents when we get older, too, right?
Right. And also, too, Will's dad is actually in It Chapter 1. So that tells me that Leroy is actually survived this.
Yeah.
So that tells me that that was Will.
Yeah, I could see that. I can see that. He gets swept up and his dad comes running back and pulls him out and then sees all the burns on his arms, and then you see our favorite balloon floating across, right?
I'm gonna tell you, that gave me goosebumps on that.
I was like we're finally at the red balloons.
Right? And the fact that Leroy can actually see this.
Yeah. So Leroy, I think because his fear when he came running back, he thought, you know, something was happening to his son. He had that fear. And then Pennywise just grabbed right onto that fear right there. So now he can start seeing stuff that Pennywise is doing.
That actually does make sense as well. But I was also going on the theory of the fact that, you know, they're not still connected within this community yet with Derry to the point where his brain is not poisoned by it or anything. So I was thinking of the lines of the fact that because of the fact that they're new in town, that's why he's able to see the balloon. But you do make a very good theory, though, on the fact that, you know, we know that this is actually amplifying fear. It amplifies fear, which also amplifies it to actually kill and scare the hell out of people.
Yeah. I think getting that adrenaline and everything, and I think Will even mentioned it, that, you know, some predators like to scare their prey and stuff to a point to where, you know, they finally get all that adrenaline and stuff in their system to taste, quote unquote, taste the way they want it. So, I mean, I think his fear of his son drowning or something happening to him really spiked all that, and then Pennywise sensed it. Since he was there, he was doing that to Will, right? And then he just latched onto that, and now his dad's gonna see more of Pennywise's actions. And and then we see it later when Will can't sleep, right?
Right.
So he looks out the telescope.
But I like this scene, though, right? Where it's like the kids are like, wait, does he eat us? And like, he's like, yeah. And so now Veronica has the idea of using the pills because the mother has happy pills that make everything feel better. And I thought to myself,
the feel better pills.
Right. But do they know? Because if your ass is asleep.
It was funny because as they were talking about it, and then she brought it, was like, anxiety meds. And then she brings out, oh, these are my mom's. I'm like, anxiety meds. I was right.
Because get this. Okay. I remember my doctor, right? She's like, I'm going to help you with your fear and anxiety with taking your GED test. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, cool. So she gave me a small dose of Xanax to see how it was going to do. The good news is I didn't have any fear. The bad news is I felt like I was floating on a cloud.
Oh man. I slept. I have anxiety attacks after my last car accident that I was in, and they tried putting me on Xanax, and my brain was still firing off a million miles a second, but my body was just like, yeah, I'm here. But my brain was still like going like crazy, and my body is just like not. It was like so out of sync. But right. She pulls those out, and I'm like, oh, anxiety pills.
I'm like, Lily, these people already think you're nuts. Now you're going to drug the students, and you're going to go back to Juniper Grove for selling for giving your classmates anxiety meds without a prescription.
And then she has a whole new Pennywise moment at school, right?
Right.
And she ends up not even taking it because she draws it down the toilet.
But to be fair, though, that would scare me, too, especially if the stall is not opening for me. Right. I'm hearing someone that I know screaming for her life. But come on, girl, you need to go on ahead. Move yourself a little bit away from the toilet and not try to take the pill over the toilet.
Yeah, I was just like, oh no. And then she tries reaching in. I was like, no, no, stop.
No,
it's gone.
Well, another thing too is I'm like, it could actually grab you from that little hole and drown you, just like how he was going to drown Will. So I'm thinking, no, do not put your hand down that toilet. I was not thinking of germs. I was not
a whole nother drain thing, right? Because he comes out of the sink. Comes out the toilet now you have toilet monster.
Right, and get this, that's actually why I was scared as a kid after the miniseries, because I thought he was going to come through the toilet and grab my ass and pull me into the toilet.
I had a problem with sink drains for a while myself.
Me too. And showers.
Yep.
But, you know, she tells Lily, oh, I feel so bad about what happened. I want to make up. And then she sees his jock that Lily likes, and now that jock is also acting like he's interested in Lily when he's really not. I think his name is Tim. So get this. She goes, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom to freshen up. Mm-hmm. And then Marge just gives like a hit. I swear, I want this character to die. The actress is doing a fantastic job of playing Marge.
Yeah, she is doing such a great job portraying this character that I absolutely hate this character and just want to smack her in the face. She's doing such a great job, and you know, there's only a few characters or a few actors that can portray a character that you absolutely just hate, you know.
Exactly, man.
And
exactly.
She's doing such a great job with it. I love it. I love it and hate it at the same time.
Same here. And I got Carrie vibes from this. Yeah. Like, then finally you see this. We were talking about the bathroom scene.
Mm-hmm.
Start seeing something in her eyes, and they turn blood red. Next thing you know, she has snails for eyes.
Yeah, from the video they were just watching in class. Yeah, she was making like a weird face. Like, I guess she's afraid of those kind of things. And she's just like Roger Rabbit. freaking
Christopher Lloyd character of the judge.
Christopher Lloyd, yeah. Oh, and her eyes are just like all over the place.
And then she goes to the wood shop class.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm like, no, girl, you don't need to do that. Because now all of a sudden, I don't care about her. Because Lily's actually following her. I'm like, no, leave her be, Lily. Leave her be.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I kind of was like, there was a brief moment of redemption she was gonna have right before all this happened. She was actually gonna tell her, I think, that it was all a setup. But you know, Pennywise is Pennywise.
Yeah, Pennywise had other plans.
The whole woodshop scene. Eh.
She didn't see it. She didn't see it coming. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, and she runs in. She has those, and I actually like. I don't even know what her thought process was. Just using the freaking saw. Like what?
Because I think that the fact that you know it's like, okay, these are snails, and I just want these snails off of my eyes.
Yeah. So I don't. Maybe just one of those panic things. Just. Cut it out.
I'm like, no. And then you see Lily on top of her. I'm like, that's it. You're going to Juniper Grove again.
Yep. No, that's it. Because, you know,
but
the saw doesn't work. So she picks up the wood chisel and starts stabbing her eye. And then Lily pulls it away, and then of course all the classmates walk in. So, you know, what's in her hand?
Exactly. And, you know, here's the thing. If Marge winds up telling them, oh, I had snails for eyes, and that's why I was stabbing my eyeballs out, she'll be going to Juniper Grove too.
Yeah, they're all going. We'll have a whole new series called Juniper Grove.
Right, which is her and Marge. But I'm thinking that Marge is going to say, hey, look, Lily didn't have anything to do with it or anything like that. I don't know what excuse she's going to have for plugging her eyeballs out, but, you know, but you know what, though? The thing is, though, and I just started thinking about this as we're talking about it. You know how the patty cakes always look down on Lily for being cuckoo, right?
Right.
Now, tables are going to turn on Marge now. She's not going to be part of that patty cake group now.
I think she was on the edge anyways. I think the girls were using her.
Yeah, the girls were using her, peer pressuring her and stuff like that. But at the same time, though, this is an easy excuse for them to say, oh, it must be a friendship thing between Lily and her to be a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So I don't see her being part of the patty cakes anymore after this.
I don't see her being a part of it either. If she even says anything, or if she even gets the chance to say anything.
Right.
You know,
I think she's gone in the next episode.
Yeah, probably. They're just using her, and I mean, they could still use her if she doesn't say anything, right? There's like, see, she is crazy. And Lily is a nut job.
Right. And they said, and I could see, no wonder why you want to be a part of, want to be her friend. You're just as crazy as she is.
Right.
I know you weren't on our patty cake. But anyway. Leroy's wife goes back. Okay, so another thing too is I like how Leroy is also investigating the military and stuff like that too. It's like, what are we dealing with here?
Yeah.
Why? And finally, he said, okay, I'm going to let you in. And it comes to find out Rose's nephew is over there looking at the military base. He lets them in. And then you have that conversation between the nephew and Dick,
mm-hmm.
which is Daniel, I think is his name. But he basically, I just feel bad for Dick because he's being weaponized to unlock this kid's head to get the information he needs because Rose came out empty-handed with the sergeant.
Right.
Because of the fact that she gave him the wrong information. So now he has to interrogate Rose's nephew, and this scene was terrifying.
Oh, Shaw, right? General Shaw?
Yeah, General Shaw.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole scene, I mean, this is where the world building really started for this episode, when you get into it, because you get so much history from him going into his mind. His name is Daniel?
Daniel. I don't know why I said Daniel for some reason.
I think it's spelled pretty much the same, just with a T instead of a D.
Daniel.
But yeah, I mean, Daniel fights him pretty well at the beginning, but then, you know, he kind of succumbs to Dick. But you get the history of at least what the tribe understands of this creature, mm-hmm. and you can see all the different manifestations that Pennywise uses, right? Like this zombified, like, deer.
And then the moose as well, which is also massive in size. Yeah. And then you also have the settlers as well. That's also part of another fear as well for that tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what happened with their ancestors and everything too. So it's just a horrifying scene of seeing this happen, and they're using the shards as a way to keep the balance where it won't get out, and they have to stay within the shards itself.
Right, and they end up having, because they only had one shard, so they ended up having to go and get our lucky number 13, right?
Right.
13 shards and make a barrier around, hoping that would help confine it.
Right. And I like the mythology with this, though, of using you know, the tribes, you know what I'm saying, the mythology within the tribe and stuff like that, and the story. And I like this thing of where there's this the doors where Dick is looking through the like the memories and stuff like that of Taniel, and he goes into the door and there's like little Taniel sitting down, and Rose is asking him about what, you know what I'm saying, about if he remembers the story of the Baloo or Kalu or whatever, and he tells the story. And that story is just horrifying.
Yeah.
Like I said.
I like she puts down, you know, some stories are just for learning, and some stories are actually real. And she points out to that one. So he knows that it's actually real from her. And he goes through the whole story, and it's just, it's horrifying. And you can only imagine, like, dealing with this creature and it just slaughtering pretty much everyone.
It slaughters everybody. It actually feeds on the fear of the tribe. And then, you know, then finally Dick, I like this moment where he finally, we see the old house where the well is that we got from the first It chapter one. And then all of a sudden you see the Rose's eye goes down and he claps and he goes, "Thank you. I got everything I needed."
Yep. And then he leads them to another door, right?
Yeah. Do you remember?
He leads them to another door, and then it's like super bright. I can't remember what happened.
Oh yeah, that was when we were seeing the house.
Yeah. See this old dilapidated house.
And that's exactly where it is in the chart, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I just thought the mythology around this and the world building that they did with this episode was perfectly well executed. It needed this, as someone that, and I actually know the lore of this, but for someone that, you know, that are just casual Stephen King fans, or someone that hasn't read the books or anything, I like the fact that they're showing the history of this.
Yeah, and it's great. And you give more substance to the story. You bring more to the world from what they understand. People who don't know will know that Pennywise is not from Earth now, right?
Right.
There is a possible way to possibly contain him.
Exactly. And then also, too, you know how I talked about Mrs. Kush or whatever? Okay, so Mr. Gray is actually the husband to her, who actually was what the guy who was running the carnival.
Oh, which yeah.
Which is the one who was off, you know, get this, that's also the same one that it also manipulated. Like, he took the persona of him and made him into the clown and stuff like that because of the woman clown. So I just want to point that out there. But we didn't, I know that you mentioned the part where Leroy going out in the middle of the street, you see Will with the telescope and stuff. I want to get into that just a little bit because I didn't get a chance to talk about that. But, you know, I just thought it was really frightening. First you have, this guy just walking down the street with his dog. And then you see a balloon. No. You see a clown.
You see a clown,
And it scares the hell out of Will. And then Leroy is like, what the heck is going on? So he goes out there. He's mad as hell, which he has every right to be. Then he sees the balloon up in the tree.
Yeah, at first he thinks it's somebody because his wife went to the station. So now they're being stalked, right? So, you know, he thinks it's some maybe racial thing, and he goes out to confront and yell at him, wake up the whole neighborhood, and then he hears something and he looks up and you see our favorite red balloon.
Right. And I'm like, come on, the police department is not going to go ahead and blow up a balloon and put it in a tree.
Yeah. And I think this is feeding more into his fear now. Leroy, right?
Yeah.
It's because it was able to latch onto him at the river, at least from my beliefs. Like, he latched onto that fear, And then you have Will's fear in the bedroom, enhancing it. And then he thinks that maybe he's going to be attacked again, probably, because he was attacked in previous episodes. So he goes in and goes confront. So he has that adrenaline going, and then you have the balloon back. So I think he's starting to put maybe two and two together with this and what's happening with their military mission.
Right. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next episode we actually have this, the chief, I think, or the general of the military. Or the major, but I wouldn't be surprised.
General Shaw, right? Yeah,
General Shaw. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't get wind of Leroy screaming out in the middle of the street, because now that also causes attention on him, which is something that he didn't want in the first place. And now it makes it is making him look like he's crazy.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. As Shaw doesn't seem at, I think he's more interested in figuring out this thing for weapon than he is a racial attack. Out of all the characters, I think he's the one that's least concerned about race at this point, because he needs them, right?
Right.
Because Dick has that psychic ability, and Leroy is one of the ace pilots that they have. So I think he's going to be more focused on figuring out, like, is this creature's power expanding, maybe? Or
that's a possibility.
Is he going to be compromised now? That could be another way for it to go. So he'll be removed from the project. There's so many different ways that it could go, right?
Exactly.
You guessing, keep you moving, right?
But yeah, I definitely like this. I think that, you know, this was a perfect episode. I liked this episode a lot better than episode 3, even though I enjoyed episode 3. I just like the lore and the world building, and it was actually the 15 charts that they actually have throughout the whole entire land. That's, you know, I just want to make that clear. But still, I had a great time watching this. I really felt like I was on the edge of my seat with the whole scene with Marge. I think this is actually a perfect, well-balanced episode. I know some people complain about the CGI in episode 3. It looked like Scooby-Doo. But I was mostly enthused with the suspense of them with the camera than I was with the special effects.
Yeah, just the straight-up fear that they were just trying to push and get out. And you didn't know if it was going to be another theater scene just this time into the theater in the cemetery, right?
Right.
Where all the kids just get slaughtered. So I wasn't too focused on the CGI for that one and into this one. I do like the effects that we have noticed with General Shaw meeting up with Rose at the store. It was like he didn't remember, right?
Right.
He didn't remember until he saw her name, and then everything started coming back to him. So you can already see that whole memory thing going on within Derry.
Right, because if you're away from Derry long enough, you forget about everything. But then once you come back, your memories from your past start coming through.
Yep. So I think it's really well-rounded so far, and I'm enjoying it, and I can't wait for the next episode.
All right. Well, guys, tell me in the comments, did you like this episode? Did you not like this episode? Were you like Chris and I, where we just enjoyed this, the lore of it? Tell us in the comments below. Also, too, I dropped my history of Derry is actually more connected with the source material of the book than the actual TV show and stuff. So go on and check that out. I dropped that today. Check that out. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and all that other good stuff. Give me a 5-star review. Let me know what you guys think. And always until next time, guys, have a great, safe night. And Chris, thank you so much for joining me with this. This is always fun.
Thanks for having me. Everyone have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.